Gospel of John, chapter 14. Perhaps we can look to the Lord in a word of prayer. And our God and Father, in your presence, in your grace, Spirit of God, honor your word by honoring our Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm going to thank you for all that you're doing. Thank you very much, Father. Thank you. In Christ's name, amen. In our study of the Gospel of John, we have come and the disciples, the 11 disciples in the upper room, are being facing imminent danger, darkness, death, prison. Everything's coming to an end of their world as they knew it. And that's where they are. And our Lord, in these few hours, minutes, is seeking to help them, encourage them. And he does so in his awesome, all-knowing, all-wise way. He does so, saying the right things in the right way at the right time. And therefore, God, in his God and his wonderful way of working, has told them in verse chapter 14, verse 20, in that, 24, that he is going to be in them, they in him. They're going to have a unique personal relationship. And God personally was going to indwell them. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost. God in his entirety, in his awesome person, is going to find his home in their heart. That's an awesome thing. Now, they didn't know that we shared together. They couldn't grab that, couldn't understand that. Therefore, they hear everything. And apart from the Spirit of God, chapter 14, verse 26, God assures them that all of these wonderful, wonderful promises, his wonderful word, his words are all going to be what? His wonderful words are going to be remembered. And the Spirit of God, not their memory and not their understanding or their intellect, the Spirit of God is going to see that everything that we're reading and that God said takes place. That's what he's going to do. Spirit of God is going to do that. So God isn't up to us. It wasn't up to them in any way, shape, or form to proceed. God had to make it happen. And if God did make it happen, it wasn't going to happen. Now, having said that little bit, then we, and God, you're going to continue to encourage them. I am. And so you're going to keep encouraging them. And then you say to them, in chapter 14, verse 27, peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. And both verbs are in the present tense. I am leaving, I am giving. Right now, I'm handing it to you as a gift, as a legacy, as an inheritance. I'm giving it to you. Now, so God, now, my question then would be, of all the different things you could do, God, and all the wonderful things that you could make happen, why peace? Why peace? Why that? Of all the things, you're capable of everything and anything. Why peace? Ah, question. God, now, in order to capture that a little bit, we're going to come right back here, but go with me back, please, over to the Old Testament, to the book of Leviticus, Leviticus and chapter 26. Leviticus chapter 26. There's a word we're going to look at, shalom, peace. But here it is. I'm just going to pick it up. I'm interested in peace. God, you offered peace to the Israelites that trusted you. And you, it was a wonderful thing, a wonderful peace. Therefore, chapter 26, verse 6, I will give peace, give it's a gift, in the land, and ye shall be lie down, and none shall make you afraid. And I will rid evil beasts out of the land, neither shall the sword go through your land. In other words, no enemy, no burglars are going to come. Verse 7, you shall chase your enemies, and they shall fall before you by the sword. You're always going to win. And 5 of you shall chase 100, and 100 of you shall put 10,000 to flight. It's going to be overwhelming. If God before you, who can be against you? The odds are always in your favor. And therefore, verse 8, 100 of you shall put 10,000 to flight, and your enemies shall fall before you by the sword. 4, I will have respect. I'm going to turn to look to you. I'm going to give you my attention. I will have respect unto you, and I will make you fruitful and multiply you and establish my covenant with you. I'm going to do all of that. I'm going to give you peace. Wonderful land. You won't have to worry about fear or want or worry. You won't have to worry about anything. I'm going to make it so that you're just always going to have peace. Wow. Nothing to worry about. Wow. Now, hang on to that. Now, that's for them. Now, I want to go back over, if you would, to John chapter 14. And in John chapter 14, may I pick up the thought, if I can. God, is it that kind of peace? It is, but it's different. What's different about it? Well, you gave them a wonderful, wonderful tranquility, safety, peace, security. You gave them that in the word peace, and you gave them everything. That's a wonderful thing, God. Wow. Now, God, here they are. Here's your 11 disciples. Not, boy, it's dark ahead. Dark and dark, dark, dark. Wow. Now, what are you going to say to them? A land free from the enemies? Oh, no. No, you don't say that. Nope. You're going to say it differently. I am, he said. I'm going to use the same word, but I'm going to say it differently. And therefore, when we come to verse 27, peace I leave with you. I'm leaving it with you. And my peace I give unto you. You'll say, John's hat. John's hat. My cat. Mine. My peace. Not peace. My. Personal peace. I'm going to give you something. Adjective. It's mine. What is mine? My peace. The peace is mine. I'm not giving you peace out here. I'm giving you my peace. Now, what on earth did you mean, and do you mean by that, God? And therefore, looking at that, and I remember keeping in all of their mind, there they are, and there's the word, peace. Comes out of the Old Testament word, shalom, peace. Now, God, what does that mean? Now, in the light of everything, God does things in a wonderful way, usually. And he knows what he's doing, and we have the experience, as you do, of growing and knowing. And God, here we are, doing peace. Now, therefore, what does peace mean? How thoroughly is peace peace? So, Jeanette comes home. I said, where's the car? She said, the car's at the top of the hill. I said, why is the car at the top of the hill? Because the keys are lost. And we had search parties and everything. They went through all the garbage bags outside. They did everything. Peace. Now God, that's the keys. They belong to the car. Without the keys, the car won't start. It won't start. Now, so Jeanette, tell me, rehearse your steps. So I don't know them. Now, how can we follow the pattern if we don't know your steps? She said there was only two or three of us to do everything, and therefore it was a hurry, 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 and the keys are gone. And everyone reported the keys are gone. That's why it was reported that some lady, had to be ladies because there's no men, had to be some lady that said, oh, there's the keys, and somewhere in one of your pockets, in one of your bags, maybe my keys. Now, when my car's there next year, and you haven't told me anything, I'm concerned. Now, but I want you to know, here we are, looking at peace. Now, if anyone could get upset with, I would get upset. Now, peace. I said, God, he said, let's put it to work. Okay, that's what I'm going to do for you. What does it mean to have peace? Why are you bothering giving them peace? What is it about peace? Now, having said that, we have the little word, as you know, in the Old Testament, we have the word, shalom and all of that, which means whole, entire, complete, perfect, wanting nothing, untouched. It's so perfect, you don't need to touch anything, you don't need to do anything. And therefore, it's the opposite of the word wanting, it's opposite of the word worry, of lacking, to be without. It's the very opposite of that word. It means having everything. Everything is just what it should be in a most wonderful way. A state of perfection, a state of wholeness, a state of being. Having everything, lacking nothing. Nothing to disturb, nothing to distress. God being who you are, wonderfully who you are, always who you are, perfectly who you are. The Lord said, I'm going to give you guys peace. I'm going to give you the peace. Where are you going? I'm going out to the cross. Then going to the garden, and then they're going to arrest me and beat me up and give me all kinds of phony bad trials, and then they're going to crucify me. But I want you to know my peace that I'm going out there with. I'm going to go into that awesome, most awesome place in all of human history, in all of sacred history, in all of eternity. There's no place like where I'm going in the next few hours to that cross. They'll never be duplicated again anywhere and forever. Wow, I want to give you my peace as I go. Now, that wholeness, that wonderful, wonderful, wonderful wholeness. Now, having said that little bit and keeping that in mind, God's perfect person, giving God's perfect person in a perfect way. So God, what are you going to do? I'm going to give you my personal person in a most perfect way. I'm going to be able to give you me, said God. I'm going to give you my peace that I have. We don't have that now, but I do. I have that peace, and I'm going to give that to you so you have it. Wow. So now, God, having had that little, and here's our flesh. Do we need that? Absolutely. Are we able to worry, want, wander? And all the other words that describe our human nature, absolutely. And God, here's our flesh, what's our human nature do? It seeks to try to understand and capture everything to the best as we can. In the process, we do everything as we can, best we can, to make everything happen as we want it to and wish it to, and make things work out like we want them to, wish them to. Wow. That's what we do. But God, that's what we do. But you don't do that. No. You don't need to do that. You never need to do that. No. Do you know, if you took time, over to just hold your finger back. Well, you don't hold your finger. Over if you would to 1 Corinthians. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, may I go directly to verse 3. There are 18 epistles, 18, and all of them start with, and God begins every time he speaks to his church, every time he speaks to the believing heart, he starts out with what? 1 Corinthians 1, 3, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. How do you introduce yourself? How do you help us? You always start with offering us peace. What about? No, that's what you need. You need to understand in your frustrating human world, you are all over the place. And you are not having peace at all. We have all different ways of describing peace. We have different ways of saying it and being it. When it isn't ever peace, it's never peace. Never peace. We talk about peace in the human body. And all peace is we're winning the war of the bad guys, the germs, and everything else. So we aren't sick. We call that peace. We call that being healthy. But all it is war. And without winning the war, we're sick and we're in trouble. So it isn't peace. No, we have words, we talk about peace. But God, we don't know them. But you, 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 3, and all the rest, you keep introducing peace. That's right. I want you to know my peace. I gave it as a gift to the 11, to the church. I gave a gift, peace. Peace be unto you. He's going to say that later, isn't he? To confirm what he's just doing in John chapter 14. He's going to confirm it. Aha, now. Therefore, keeping that in mind, if you would, and so the peace of God brings God's perfect person to us in a most awesome way. So that God, here we are in your presence, fully. Don't need to move. Don't need to do anything. God, here we are. Here's Pradesh, thinking of Pradesh again, over there in Nepal. And here's all the dear people out there in all the world. Here's all the angels. And you're there. Uh-huh. But I'm here. I'm everywhere. I'm omnipresent. Totally, fully, wonderfully, I'm here. Wow. Now, And I give you my peace. What's that going to do? Well, that's going to help you understand that as my perfect person is going to go, and I'm going to go in a most wonderful, wonderful way, I'm going to go and make sure that my happy, holy heaven plan, my wonderful plan and purpose and program is going to be outworked in your life. And I want it outworked. I don't want to have the failure to think of what we read in Leviticus 26. The enemy could come and all the worries and fear and the animals could come and eat us and all the different things. But that isn't what it's about. No, that's for them. No, I'm going to make sure that what I started in you, Philippians 1:6, I started a good work in you, and you know what? I'm going to finish the work. That's what I'm going to do. By the way, do you understand that's why I give you my perfect person, my peace? Because you see, everything's together. Everything is properly in order. There's nothing missing. No pieces, no need for anything. Everything is perfect, whole, complete, free of all strife, all worry, all want. There's nothing, no one, anywhere to disturb it, to make it incomplete, to make it less. No, it's perfect. My peace I give unto you. I give that to you. You don't have it, God said. I have it. And you're looking to me. I'm going to find my home in your heart. And I am at peace. And when I am at peace inside of your heart, I want you to trust me with all your heart and be at peace.
But.
Be at peace. Pain, heartache, headache, cancer, all the different things. Be at peace. Quiet. Wow. Tranquility. A word, an English word. But boy, it's way more than that. So therefore, God, here we are looking for the plan and our happy energy. We're trying to outwork our lives in school and home and work and coming and going and marriage and everything else. We're doing it in health and wealth. We're trying to work out our little lives. We're doing it. And we have good days, bad days, high, low. And sometime it works at work, and sometime it doesn't work at work, and sometime it goes good at school, and other times it doesn't go good. And home and work, and the washing machine breaks, and the car gets the keys lost, and everything. Well, but, that's you trusting you for your plan, your program, which you are very familiar with, God, aren't you? Absolutely, He is. Are you trusting me? I am at peace. I give you my peace. Now sit still and let me do what I do. Educate. God, I'm going to speak on peace. God said, I'm going to help you. I'm going to remind you of how it is and how it works. Otherwise, you're going to say something that you don't realize. I want you to speak about things that you go through where you understand them because you have to live with them. And God, you put us through all of that for what? So that we have reality. Wonderful reality. No, not dreaming. You know, say something. No, it doesn't mean anything. No, it means everything. Now, so God, here we are looking, and you have a wonderful, wonderful plan, a wonderful, wonderful program for our life, and in the process of outworking that program for our life, God, you're going to do it, because you have a plan. I have a plan, you have a plan, but our plans are subject to God's wonderful will. Think of James chapter 5 and all of that. God, you say, when you're all done about this or that, tomorrow I'm going to do this, and I'm going to do that. And God said, you'll be very smart if you understand. You say, God willing, I'll do this. For you do not know what tomorrow holds. You don't know that. So don't assume a whole lot of things. And then they get there, think of all the ways to say this. Matthew chapter 5, the last verse. Matthew chapter 6, I should say, the last verse. Matthew chapter 6, the last verse. Sufficient is the day, is today. Sufficient is the evil thereof. Trouble, evil, trouble, heartache, headache. You got enough just living through today. Don't try to add tomorrow. Be at peace. I already know tomorrow. I already know 100 years from now. I already know forever. Now, why don't you just be at peace? But. No, I want you to be at peace. Now, God, having said that, so therefore, we shared the other day, say it again, the scaffolding. Don't get tied up in the scaffolding. And God, you've given us all kinds of things, resources, remedies we have, and try to do this and try to do that. And we try to make everything work out. God, we do. But, God, what? It isn't going to work. And just to see that, over to Romans. Romans in chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. And may I pick up the thought, God, you do wonderful, wonderful things. That's right. And you're going to go and look to me with all your heart. And in chapter 8, Romans, verse 2, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus have made me free from the law of sin and death. Come from Romans 7 into chapter 8. God, the Spirit of God, gives a wonderful, wonderful relationship of life. And therefore, verse 9, but ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal fleshly bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. And therefore, looking to God, verse 6, to be carnally fleshly minded, we're going to try to work out our life and all of the different things, to be carnally minded, flesh, we're going to try to work everything out, to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. To look to you, God, it produces a wonderful peace, because the carnal mind is enmity, hostility against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then, they that are in the flesh cannot please God. And so, God, that's what we try to do. That's because we aren't looking to you. We're trying to outwork everything. The trouble is, we put too much effort in and too much confidence in ourselves, and we're thinking somehow that if plan one doesn't work, plan two will work. But when plan three doesn't work and plan 500 doesn't work, we ought to begin to wake up that it isn't going to work. No flesh shall please me. Period. So if 100 times in 1,000 years, do it. When you're all done, you didn't go anywhere. You didn't prove anything except I told you what I said in the first place. And you could have learned it in the beginning. But after 1,000 times, maybe you'll learn it. Now, God, so therefore, God, you're going to give us peace in order that we could have the wonderful results of your purpose, and meaning for our human existence. Now, and also, God, you're going to go and give us, in the light of this peace, your perfect person, your perfect peace, you're going to give us perfect provision. Now, God, is there anything that's going to be lacking? Lacking. So here we are, God. We're bankrupt in the midst of our flesh and our character, conduct. And God, we try to protect it, to struggle and strive and make it all work. But when we're all done providing everything, what do we provide? And how well does it really provide for us? Using a simple illustration. You eat food. You had a little food. You may have some today. You can even fill your belly, fill your stomach. You can fill your stomach with 20 McDonald's burgers, maybe. And tomorrow you start again. You made provision. For how long? You took your pills. For how long? I did this. For how long? How long is it? Not long. Just wait. And you got to do something again, because all your provisions about anything are not satisfactory. They won't work. Wow. So God, here we are looking to you, and you give in your wonderful, wonderful peace, a holy, healthy, happy giving us that you're going to provide everything that we need. That's correct. That's what you're going to do. Why are you going to do that? How are you going to do that? I am perfect. I'm going to give you my peace. My perfect person. My perfect, perfect plan for your life. My perfect provision. Is there anything lacking? No, it's complete. It's whole. It's shalom. Peace. Peace. Must something's missing? No, nothing's missing. God, maybe. There is no maybe. What if? There is no what if. There isn't any. Peace. My peace I give unto you. Not somebody else's peace. My peace in an awesome way. So God, here you are going to go and help us in every way. So here's the word peace, the untroubled, undisturbed well-being of God. No threat to one's persons. There's no to one's person. No threat to one's possession. No threat to one's property. No threat to one's purpose. Nope. God, you give perfect peace. A state of wholeness, of well-being. No disruptions. No disruptions from violence. No interruptions. No disturbances. Nothing disturbing. Perfect, complete. God, your personal being, making it so that, God, we are awesomely provided for by you. And understandably, God, if you're going to find your home in our heart, then I expect that wherever you live, it ought to be pretty neat. Don't you think? Silly illustration. Bill Gates, I don't know him, but Bill Gates, he got a couple of dolls. And Bill Gates is going to come and to your house. And he's bringing, and he has all of his resources, and he comes in, and you have a need. Now, is Bill Gates could buy the town of Middletown. I mean, he could do the whole thing. Now, God, now would you have a problem? Because Bill Gates has made a commitment to give you all, any resource, anything you need. And Bill Gates, from a human standpoint, isn't limited from a human standpoint. Wow. Now, God, when you come in, and you do, and you own the piece of property, we're bought with a price, therefore, I assume that if you're there, and it's your piece of property, and you have to take care of it, and you have bought it, costing you your shed blood on Calvary's cross, it cost you. It did. If you think I'm going to fool around, in fact, you know, without just wandering all over, think of Ephesians chapter 1. I'm going to go and put a down payment on you, and the down payment is none other than my Spirit. He's the down payment on the piece of property I bought. And he's going to see that it's delivered to me. That's what he's going to do. I'm going to see that it gets there. God, are you going to take care? Peace? That's right. I said, peace be unto you. Wholeness. Wonderful, wonderful, wonderful peace, God. A wonderful way that you do what you do in a most awesome way. Therefore now, keeping that in mind, over if you would please, to Romans. Romans chapter 1. In Romans chapter 1, may I pick up please, so you can pick up the movement. God does it all different ways. Romans chapter 1, picking up, please, in verse 7. To all that be in Rome, beloved of God, called to be saints, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. My peace I give unto you. And now you're going to do that. That's how they start off the Romans. Romans, here you are. Now, having said that a little bit, chapter 3. God, you're going to unfold the reason we have peace because the world doesn't. And chapter 3, picking up if I can, verse 17. Talking about the world, the world system, and I'm going to go directly to verse 17. And the way of peace have they not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes. Now we know that what things soever the law saith, it saith to them that are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped, and all the world may become guilty before God. There is no peace. They don't have any peace. How can they have peace when they have no relationship to me? And I am peace, said God. I am peace. I am life. I am peace. Now, how are you going to have it without me? You don't. You don't. You don't have it now. So having said that, over to chapter 4. God, you're making something wonderfully happen. That's right. Chapter 4, verse 25. Who, the Lord Jesus Christ, raised from the dead, who was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justification. How are we justified? Not by his death, by his life. His death paid the penalty. His righteous life provides the life that you need. He provides the life. By his resurrection, you are justified. What does that entail? Chapter 5, verse 1. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. What have you done? I've given you and made for you a brand new super duper relationship. I give you a brand new, a new creature in Christ. I made you new. I made you mine. Wow. That's what I did. I made you mine. Now therefore, God, you have a relationship to me because of my Son. That relationship to me involves my peace. You have all of me for all of you. That's what you have. It's a new relationship. How so? By my resurrection. My wonderful, wonderful resurrection. Chapter 5, verse 9. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if, when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more, being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. If he took us to the cross, and he did, and he took us to the grave and rose again to bring us to this place, that's much, much, much God. A whole new relationship. That's correct. Brand new, wonderful relationship. You've done it. You've done it for us in a most awesome, awesome way. Well, now, having said that little bit, and keeping that in mind, if you would, over, if you would please, to Philippians for a moment. You know all these different things. God keeps saying it. All of the pages, he keeps telling us if we're going to listen. And if we listen, we'll learn. Chapter 4, Philippians chapter 4. And you will notice, Philippians 4, you're familiar with it. Verse 6, our part, be careful, stop worrying, don't be anxious. A command, stop worrying, don't be anxious for nothing, don't worry about anything. in everything on the contrary, by prayer and supplication, with always thanksgiving, no matter what, no matter who, no matter whether things seem to be going or not, isn't a question. God, are we trusting your peace? Thankfully, we are. So God, how's it going to work? I don't know. It may never work out, but from my point of view, but God, from your point of view, it always works out. And therefore, if it's needed, you'll take care of it. If it isn't needed, then you won't even involve it. If I don't think you need that, you don't get it. But I need... No, you don't. If I thought you needed it, you'd have it. If I thought you needed it, you got it. But if I don't think you need it, and you tell me you need it, and I'm telling you you don't, I'm going to let you discover that. I'm going to let you learn the lesson. Wow. So therefore... Verse 7, and the peace of, what's going to happen? The peace of God, which passes, peace that belongs to God, my peace I give unto you, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. God, you're going to go and keep us. That's right. It's going to pass. You can't sit down and figure it out. There's no figure. Explain it. You can't. Explain peace. You can't explain peace. Explain perfection. You don't have anything. Look at you dying. You're still in this earthly body, and the conditions are the same. Explain that. I don't know. All I know is that I'm absent when I'm in a moment, and God's wonderful time, absent from the body, present with the Lord. But in the meantime, I don't have to explain anything. God gives us peace, quietness. Think of Isaiah 30 and 15. In returning and rest, shall you what? Be saved. And in quietness and confidence shall be your strength. How simple. I save you and make you strong. All you got to do is honor me. God, that's it. That's what you want. It is. What about the keys? It isn't about the keys. Not about the keys. No. No. It's about learning to rest. Aha. Now, and then, sliding down to verse 9, those things which you have learned, both learned, and that's why we read and study and think, and God in your presence, and received and heard and seen in me and do, that's why we have all the experiences to put it to the test, to put it to the proof. Does it work? Absolutely. Verse 9, those things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen in me do, and the God of peace shall be with you. Yeah, the peace of God and the God of peace. And that's what you're going to have. A wonderful, wonderful, unique relationship to his awesome, wonderful person in an awesome and wonderful way. God, you're going to do that. I am. Therefore, with that in mind, over if you would to John chapter 16. In John chapter 16, picking up the thought, if I may, and you know it, in the upper room still, he's going, but he's going to say something again, same thing, same wonderful thing. Chapter 16, verse 33, these things have I spoken unto you. Mm-hmm. Did we hear them? That in me... Not outside of me, not apart from me, not about you, in me. In light of who you are, our living, you're the living and only God incarnate in the person of Jesus Christ. That in me you might have peace. In me, my peace I give unto you. My peace. So God, what have we got to worry about and want and wonder? No. In the world, you shall have tribulation, pressure, squeezing, trouble of all kinds of different things. But be of good cheer, good courage. I have overcome the world. You might have peace in me. That's what I want. I want you to know to have the wonderful, wonderful peace that I give. Now, when you go to a doctor or that kind of thing, the doctor, what's the doctor going to do? The doctor's going to go and try to bring peace from a human understanding to the body and to the things that upset the body, that disturb the body, that caused difficult for the body, the doctor is going to go and try to make peace, isn't he? He's going to go and try to make peace for you with his trouble. That's what he's going to try to do. Now, and when you go to school or otherwise, we have the teacher. What's a good teacher, a good school, good teacher going to do? A good teacher is going to do what? Help you understand, to read, to write, to think, to understand, whatever you need to understand. And have an intellectual what? Peace. I bet you most of you, most of us, maybe, I question myself sometime. Here we are. 8 times 8 is easier, that's too hard. 2 times 2 is, did you all get that? You're all so smart. What can I tell you? 4. I'll give you the answer. Isn't it good to be able to know something? Isn't it good to understand? You read the sign, stop, stop, bridge out. Isn't it good to read the sign? Isn't it good to read? Aren't you glad you can understand? Peace. What's the teacher giving you? Peace. So you have an understand, thanks. That's a good teacher. Help you understand. Uh-huh. Now, in the light of that, God, what are you going to do? I'm going to give you peace. I'm going to give you my peace. I want you to be able to enter into a unique, holy, heavenly, happy harmony. Frictionless. Friction's a problem, isn't it, in everything? Frictionless. It goes on, and since there's no friction, it just keeps going and going. It's whole, it's complete, it's at peace, frictionless. Down the corridor of time, be at peace. My peace I give unto you in a most awesome way. Now, having said that little bit, and keeping that in mind, if you would, now. So therefore, here comes the trees, and the trees are all in blooming, and at least for the moment, and all of that. And they're all living off the life-giving sap coming from the thing. And each of those branches has the sap flowing through it. And each of the as the sap, the living juice, as it were, goes in it and through it. It produces and has leaves and health and everything. God, what are you going to do? I'm going to give you peace. I'm going to give, like the branch, I'm going to give you peace, wholeness. What do we need to do? Just be at peace. Trust me. Trust me with all your heart. I want you to be able to go and lift, as it were, as you travel down the corridor of time in your little raft or boat, if you can imagine it, and put your sail up. By that, I mean, you're going to look to me. Going to look to me and put it up there so there's no question. Anyone looking at you, what are you going by? The sail is sending me right down the corridor of time. Wow. And therefore, God, you're going to blow in your wonderful way in perfect peace. You're going to cause me to move down the corridor of time. And as I'm moving down the corridor of time, God, what are you doing? I'm causing you to outwork my wonderful life. Work, home, school, play. Easy, hard, much, little. I'm going to outwork it. Just keep sailing along, looking to me. But God, don't worry about the buts. Don't start saying, well, what happens? It looks like it's nothing. We'll pick that up tonight. Nothing. Nothing. Yeah. Now, so God, here we are, moving down the corridor of time. Poverty. Poverty cannot destroy it. Sickness cannot mar it. Persecution cannot ruin it. And God, you give wonderful rest to the body, and you give wonderful peace to the soul, to be at peace. Wholeness, 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 wholeness. And therefore, God, therefore, our little hearts, we don't want to be caught up, God, in the disturbances and the disruptions of life. We want to keep our eye on you. Now, God, we just had an illustration. You just did it for us. Here's Hurricane Florence. And at one time, I think the weatherman said, when it was way out there, I think he said the eye was 200 miles. I thought he said that. When it was near land, it was 25 miles. That's the eye. And in the eye is stillness, isn't it? Remember, we've had them. And you just stand, here comes the wind blowing, and then you hit the eye, and it's like calm as can be. Tranquil. I want you to ride through your life in the eye of the storm. The storm is everywhere. It isn't going away, but you're moving in my eye. My eye is upon you. Stay in my eye in the midst of the storms, and I will keep you in perfect peace. What do you think? Isn't it good, the cause forever gone at the camp? Our Father and God, thank you for your word, your work, your wisdom. God, in quietness and confidence, God, put it all together for us. For those who know you not as Lord and Savior, God, convict, convince them of the obvious, of the marvelousness of reality. God, thank you. Thank you, thank you very much for all that you're doing. God, thank you. In Christ's name, amen.